But the good news is God showed up just in the nick of time. God delivered her. God saved her. And God has shown himself so faithful in many ways like that for her, for many of us in this room as well today. Dino ministered as a missionary in South Africa. Her husband and herself, they actually pioneered a church. I think it was in South Dallas. We ministered there several times as guest speakers. And God's used her also in ways beyond that. I want to read some things I see typed up here also. I didn't even know about some of these things. It says that Dina McClure has ministered throughout the nations, training, equipping, activating believers into their destinies and their callings. Since 1981, the year we got married, she has given her life as a missionary, church planter, pastor, teacher, conference speaker, and as a prophetic strategist, she partners with churches, nations, and marketplace leaders to help bring them to the next level. We all know the next level, amen? She's devoted to training and equipping leaders in all areas of kingdom purpose, including apostolic and prophetic ministry. Dina currently is part of a leadership team of the Deeper School of Supernatural Life and is part of the training team at the mission in Vacaville. Now, is that a town, Vacaville?
Yeah.
Vacaville.
It's town.
Okay.
Vacaville means Cowtown.
It means Cowtown. Wichita means the same thing, I think. Wichita, Kansas, Cowtown. And she actually lives right now between Redding, which is where Bill Johnson's at, Heaven Invades Earth book writer, and also Sacramento. So it's in that part of California. And we all say that the northern part of California is a whole different state than Southern California. And so I'm kind of glad you're from there. Moving on. Through her revelation, teaching, and gifting, Dina brings people into deeper inner life experiences and a new discovery of his manifested presence. So we appreciate, again, the call of God in your life, what God's doing in your life. Praise God that he's bringing folks we've met from years ago into this place here to be a blessing to us and to you guys. And so this is right now, give a Tree of Life Church godly welcome to a woman of God here named Dina McClure as she comes and ministers this morning. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Hearing my testimony ministered to me. You told that really well. And, you know, it's from the minute we walked in this door, all the girls said, and not me too, we felt like we stepped through that door into this church and we felt the arms of God go around us. There is such a sweet spirit in this church. And we have so enjoyed being with your ladies and with Pastor Cheryl and Pastor Mike. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I just am excited that God has put us back together. I believe it's for a reason and purpose. If nothing else, just so I can hear the South African accent through my friend and feel like I'm at home again. I could listen to that accent for forever. Oh, we have so many fun memories together. But there's so many more to make. I'm all about making memories. Do you like to make memories? I like to make memories. And we've made a memory this weekend. And I've made a memory with my girls. These are some of my students from the Deeper School, but they're my friends too. And so I want to introduce them. This is Cherie. Go ahead and stand up and wave to everybody. And Amanda. And Natasha. And then Kathleen. And so we've had so much fun getting to travel as a team. And this is the time of the year we do mission trips. And so some went to Fiji, some went to Nevada, and we went to the nation of Texas. I almost brought my passport just in case. And actually, you know, it's so weird hearing myself be announced from California because I am a Texan. You know, I lived in Dallas for most of my life outside of South Africa. So, and Cherie's from Texas as well. So we've come home. We've been drinking in every moment that we've been here. We had some good Tex-Mex last night. Yeah. I can't get con queso dip. In California, they don't know what it is. I try to explain it to them, they just don't get it. So I got a big bowl last night and had fun. You know, I've never done this in 30-something years that I've been doing this. But Pastor Mike, I want to ask you before this service is over for you to pray over us. I'm going to include them. I know I want it, and your prayers, I'm undone. Every time you open your mouth and start to pray, I'm just the presence of God. I love how you pray the word. I love, there is such an anointing on your prayers. And I've never done that. I've never asked someone, you know, pastor to pray over me when I've gone into their church. But would you do that before this is all over? Because there is such an anointing on you. How would you like that, girls? Would you like that? So, yay, our team gets to be prayed over. I really, this is what a joy, what a privilege that I get to be in a pulpit on Palm Sunday and, you know, on this week that we do celebrate. I love what you said, Cheryl, because truly, really, there's a joy in this week. I mean, we remember, but Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, and that, what I always said, what was that joy? It was you and me. He saw us. And when he saw us, the joy that was set before him, knowing that we would be redeemed, he endured it and he went through it because he had us in his sight. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I'm really thankful. And I asked the Lord, you know, what he would like me to share. And one of the things that I'm passionate about and that he's passionate about is the resurrection power of God. And there is something so powerful. You know, you'll hear me quite often speak about practicing the presence of God, but I also practice the presence of the resurrection power of God, because that resurrection power lives in us. Now, unless we are intentional about knowing that and remembering and let it becoming a part of our life, we will never draw from the benefits that we have within us of resurrection power. And it's a mighty power. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, and then want to pray for you, and we want to release and stir up that resurrection power that all of us carry. So that's what I want to share on. It's one of my favorite subjects because it includes the Holy Spirit, and he's my dear friend. So I'm just going to ask him right now to just bless this time that we're going to take to do this. So Holy One, wow, what a weekend we've had, and you've been so faithful. You've been so good to us. We love you so much. I'm so glad and grateful that Jesus, in all of his wisdom, said it's important that I go so that I can send the Comforter. I can send the Holy Spirit. And we're so glad that you have come to all of our lives. You're our friend. You're our helper. You're our guide through this journey. You are our revelator. You are our enlightener. You show us things to come. You quicken us. You bring life to us. You flow through us. You're water to us. You're rivers through us. You're everything to us. You take everything. And this is what I want. I would like for you to do this morning, because it's what you love to do. Would you take everything that is the Father's and everything that is the Son's, and would you make it known to us? Manifest them to us this day in the realm of the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead. And help us to see who we are in him and who he is in us in the dynamic of what we carry in this earth. I can speak your words, but it's up to you to enlighten them and bring life to the ears of the hearer and the eyes of the seer that are sitting out there today. So let's move forward, Holy One, and do what you do so well. And I give it over to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, when we start thinking about this week, you know, one of the things I've trained myself in my life is we don't want to just think about it this week, do we? This is a lifestyle. This is something that we do as a lifestyle, and to practice the presence of God and to understand what our inheritance is. We have an inheritance through him. And when we find out what he has, we discover what we have. So everywhere we see in the scriptures of what Christ purchased, what he has and what he walks in, we can put our name in there, because as he is, so are we in this earth and in the life to come. So I've loved the discovery of my life and my journey in him, discovering what he has given me. And one of the things I began to, you know, come into and really be aware of, and really I started learning probably just, you know, months. And I think it was actually, I've been walking in this 32 years since 1980 of January, but I remember in March, I had an encounter with Christ in my kitchen, in a little farmhouse in Richardson, Texas. And it transformed me. I believe we have encounters and they go from glory to glory to glory to glory, don't they? And we never should stop having those moments where he wants to pull the curtains back, so to speak, and reveal himself to us. And just to tell you quickly, it was right before Resurrection Sunday, Easter time. And I was doing laundry, to tell you the truth. And I was back in my little laundry area, and I had the radio on a Christian radio station, and it was in my kitchen. And all of a sudden, I heard the Hallelujah chorus come on. I heard the music begin to go up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to hurry up and get these clothes in the washer because I want to get in there and hear it. I love the Hallelujah chorus. So I quickly put everything in. And I was coming around the corner. And you had to come around a corner and step up to go into my kitchen. And I'd never been raised in a church where people knelt, you know, or bowed or got on their knees or anything. So there was not a grid for that. Let me just put it like that. And when I stepped into my, and I also wasn't raised to really be in a church where they believed and celebrated the manifest presence of God, the glory. So these were new things to me. But when I came around the corner, I can't describe it except just to tell you the way it was. For whatever reason, the glory of God was just in my kitchen. And it was coming through the song and through the music of what was happening in that moment. And the reason it was so significant is because as I came around the corner, the glory of God, I stepped in to the manifest presence of God. It was in my kitchen, and I hadn't even read the scriptures about it yet, so I didn't know that the priest couldn't even stand up to minister because my knees buckled and I went down. And the next thing I knew, I was on my knees because I couldn't stand up, and there was a weightiness and a heaviness, and the music was coming. You know the Hallelujah chorus. You know how it makes you feel. I believe that's one we're going to hear in heaven, don't you? It was written, you know, in a miraculous way to begin with. And I'm on my knees, and I'm starting to bow and prostrate. I'm on my knees, and I'm going down. I'm coming back up. And it scared me at first. And I remember thinking, Lord, what am I doing? Is this okay? And I heard the voice of God say, Dina, I have sent worshiping angels. They're here right now, and they're going to lead you and help you move you into perfect worship. That's what he said. And I began to and then I felt safe, and I just began to worship. And the next thing I know, whether I was in my body or out, I'm not really sure. But I know that I was in front of the resurrected, glorified Christ. Now, I was raised in a really good Christian home. My parents loved the Lord. They taught us about the Savior, you know, that Jesus gave his life, and that if we confessed and believed that we would be saved, and that he was raised the third day. I was raised in a Christian home. I knew that Jesus was raised from the dead. But that day in my kitchen, I came into contact and encounter with a resurrected, glorified Christ. I never looked up. All I saw was his feet. And in that moment, I had a revelation. It was just in me. It was an instant revelation of the resurrected power and glory of God. And when I came back and was aware that I'm in my kitchen again, I was weeping, and there was, as the radio language goes, dead air. It was absolute silence. Nothing was coming through the radio. You know, anyone who's ever done radio knows you don't leave long gaps of silence on the radio. But there was nothing coming out, and I was aware of that. And the presence is still in my kitchen, and I don't know how much time went by, a few minutes maybe. And then the next thing you know, I hear the announcer going, and his voice is cracking. He's crying. And I'm thinking, aha, I wasn't the only one. And he said, I don't know what just happened to you out there, but I'm just right now feeling the presence of God. And I had such an awareness that day God did something sovereign in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex through that Christian radio station, through that song, because you could feel there was a tangibleness of the glory of God, you know? And so from that moment on, something shifted, something changed in my life, and I came into a new understanding of the resurrecting power of God. And I begin to look at the scriptures, and I want to share just a few of the scriptures with you this morning. In Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 20, it says, God begins to talk about how he wants us to know and understand some things through Paul, who's writing. He says in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, there's your first clue right there where it says Father of glory. It's giving you a little clue what he's getting ready to talk about. May give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Everybody say mighty power. Yeah, his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. I've always loved this because I think sometimes we can tend to read through too fast through the Word, and we miss moments where Paul's saying here by the Spirit of God that the Lord wants us to know three things. So it's good to stop and figure out what those three things are he wants us to know. I'll just tell you quickly. He wants us to know what is the hope of our calling. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us that the hope of our calling is that we've been called back to glory and virtue. So when in the garden, when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, and they were separated from the presence of God and they realized they were naked, through Jesus Christ, he came and through his life and the shedding of his blood, he redeemed us and he brought us back into a place where we could come back into and have fellowship with God and come into the manifest presence of God, which is the glory of God. So we've been called to glory. We've been called to experience and live and encounter the presence of God. What is the other thing? It's that God, by the Paul writing, says he wants us to know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is God's inheritance in the saints? Well, in Colossians 1:27, it says that that Christ is that treasure which is in us. He's that hidden treasure in us, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So he is the inheritance that is in the saints. God, through the death of his son, did a miracle where we were born again and brought into Christ, and Christ is in us. And now within each and every one of us, we have an inheritance in us, which is Christ. It's Christ in us, and he's the hope of glory. So we have the manifest presence of God living in every single one of us because we're in him, and the Bible says Christ is in us, and then we're double sealed. Christ is in the Father. So not only are we sealed by Christ, but now we're also sealed by the Father. It's a safe place to be. It's a good place to be. But it says that we carry that glory in us. We carry the manifest presence of God. You can interchange those two words. We carry it within us. We're vessels that contain that treasure. That's the second thing he wants us to know. So it's going back to what? The glory. The Father of glory. It's the calling to glory. It's the inheritance of glory. And then in Romans 6:4, it talks about the other, it gives you the answer to the other question. He wants us to know what is the exceeding power that he's working in us, which was the greatness of his power, which was the resurrection and of power of God. Now, what is the resurrection power of God? It says that he wrought in Christ, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He wants us to know what that is. What did God raise Christ from the dead by? In Romans, it tells us that God came by the Holy Spirit and raised Christ from the dead by the Spirit of glory. That the Spirit of glory came into that tomb, and the power of God, the resurrection power of God, the Spirit of resurrection, the Spirit of glory raised Christ from the dead. Now that is in us. That's in us. We carry resurrection power in us. Now, I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about this and I think about what it did for Christ, what it did through Christ, and what the power, the working of the, it says, I love the word mighty, mighty power, the mighty dunamis miracle working power of God lives in all of us. Now the Bible says, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I take that literally. You don't see it with these natural eyes, but out of my spirit comes the presence of God. I can release the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Spirit of God. I can release resurrection power wherever I go. I can set water levels. I'm not subject to what bad moods of everyone else. I'm not subject to the, I love the prayer you were praying about, the things we're going through in this nation and around the world. Those don't affect me. I affect them. And I can go into any place and I can have a happy, joyful existence and journey because I'm not subject to everybody else. I can set the moods. I can set the water levels, and I can set atmospheres. I love creating atmospheres. I love setting atmospheres because God, and he's all about doing that too, you know. In heaven, just read what's going on in heaven. Hello. You know, these winged creatures have eyes all over them, wings, and they're flying around. And then every time they see a new sight of God, they fall down and cry, holy, holy. There's so much light that the light is hitting the mist and the glory presence, and it's creating colors shooting off everywhere. There's lightnings. I mean, we talk about atmosphere. I could keep going, but I want to stay on this track. But God loves atmosphere. And we create that by the Spirit of God wherever we go. Wherever we go, we have the potential to do that. We're not subject to the world. The world is subject to us. And we don't live according to the world. We live according to the kingdom. So when you begin to come into these revelations, as I know because I've hung out with the ladies this weekend, you guys walk in this. But I love stirring myself up in this. It's not good enough just to know it, but to do it, to practice it, to let it be a part of your existence, to point it, to aim it. We have a saying at our church that we use in a lot of things, to be intentional. Intentionality, to be intentional, which means you aim for the eye of the bullseye. You're not shooting buckshot. You're not shooting, you know, just a spray. You're going with a fine-tuned crosshair of the presence and getting people and situations in that crosshair of the glory to where you release the mighty working of his power into situations and circumstances because it's what you carry, because it's who you are. Now, I'm going to give you just a couple more verses because I want to share a couple of stories. And I believe some of these things I'm going to tell you, I believe you're marked to step into some of the same things because we're to do exploits. And God is looking for people, and especially more now than ever. And there's an increase. There's an exponential building of the presence in this earth right now. I've been aware of an increase of angelic activity in this earth just in the last year or so. You can feel something increasing. There's more testimonies that are coming now. And it says in Revelation, as that day approaches, there's going to be more angelic activity that God has held some back for even these last days of things that they're coming into this earth and working and stirring. And we need to put them to work. I mean, they're there to obey the voice and the word of the Lord. So as we declare the word, angels, you know, are on it. But there's so many other things going on in around us that these eyes might not see in the natural, but we know as believers, we don't have to see it. We're moved by what we know the word says. Therefore, we know God is doing it regardless of whether we see it in the natural. But if we declare things, if we release things, you better believe we're going to start seeing the manifestations of it. We will. So when we see the scriptures, it says in Romans 6, verses 4 through 5, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We've all identified, probably everyone in here has identified with the death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory, there it is, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I like the way that's worded. It's worded that way for a reason, because it's a choice. It's a choice if we choose to follow after and walk in that same resurrection power, that same resurrection life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And what is the likeness of his resurrection? It's not, like I said, just for the life to come and the sweet by and by. The good news is we live and walk in that resurrection power now. I told the ladies when I was you know, young in the Lord and first beginning to learn this and meditate, I'm very visual, very pictorial. I'm a seer. He'll show me pictures. And I saw myself, and the Lord showed me. He said, Tina, you have so got it down, honey, you know, being identified through the death. You've stepped into that. You've done that. You have so identified with a burial, you know, and identifying with putting the old man in the grave. But, Dina, I want you to look at something. And he showed me the picture of the tomb, and he showed me the picture of the stone rolling back. And I looked into the tomb, and I saw Jesus, as it were, and the grave clothes laying on that cold slab of stone. And I saw the man Jesus walk out. And then I was in the tomb, and I saw him walking, you know, out in resurrection power and life. It says, even as we were buried with him, and as we were identified in death and buried with him, it says, even so now we also should follow after him. And I'm like, oh my goodness, look at Jesus walking out in that victorious resurrection power. And the Lord said, Tina, I'd like for you to look back in the tomb. And I looked back and I saw myself laying on the cold slab of stone. And the Lord said, Tina, you need to get up and follow him in newness of life. So many believers can identify with the death. They can identify with the burial. But have we truly identified with resurrected power and life? I know we know that God is with us. I know we live. But I'm telling you, resurrection power. That is a power that is not of this world. And it's a power that we carry that brings the power of God through us and in us to others. So I looked at that and I went, I'm not staying there. I'm going to get up and I'm going to step into this new life. And I'm going to follow after you in it. And as a result, I have gotten to see and experience some amazing moments with God. One is that situation, which I'm not going to talk about that today because I want to tell you about the resurrection of the dead. Would you like to hear some resurrection of the dead stories? Because where we read in the scriptures, it says resurrection power in the body. These are things if not a week goes by that I don't pray these several times in some situation. And these are some of my favorite resurrection scriptures that talk about that power being in us. But Romans 8, 10, and 11 says to us, but if the same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, here we go, dwells in us and dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Okay, so I've just been talking to you up until now, but now I'm reading to you what it actually says. And it actually says, if the same spirit, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that was the spirit of the spirit of glory, that was the Holy Spirit. If he raised Jesus from the dead and dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. So, you know, times when, you know, I might be traveling and, you know, you're just going and you're doing. One of my secrets is tapping in and knowing that resurrection power that lives in me. And I'll just begin to stir myself up. You know, or if I've got a busy schedule and I've got a full week, sometimes I need that resurrection power to empower my body. And so I'll just begin to pray, thank you, Father, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells in me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm just asking you right now, would you rise up and begin to bring life? That word quicken means just bring life. Bring life to my mortal body. Empower me with resurrection power in my body, in my life. Or if you're sick, if your body's sick, what better thing to bring and pray? This is your promise. Within this scripture is embedded a promise for divine healing. Because if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then that same spirit will rise up and quicken and bring life to your mortal body. Where do you need life? Are you battling with diabetes? Are you battling with cancer? Are you battling with heart disease? Are you battling with those things? What better area to release the resurrection power of God to than into that area? Because if he lives in you, it says he will rise up and bring life to your body. That's good news. There's also another scripture that says in Ephesians 3, 16 and 20, I'm just going to read those two verses, that verse 16 says that he who would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in your inner man. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. He's able. He's able to do that exceedingly, abundantly above, according to all the power that works in you. And that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. There it is again, the glory. It's according to the riches. You can't even begin to weigh the riches of the glory. It will take eternity. And it says, he's able to do according to the riches of the glory that dwells in you. According to the riches of glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in our inner man. I think if this was a revelation and if this was prayed and if this was acted upon, there would never be backsliding. That's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? But, you know, it still happens, you know. But I'm telling you right now, when that resurrection power lives in you and you begin to pray not only that it would rise up and quicken your mortal body, but the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he will also rise up and bring life to your inner man. He will quicken your inner man. The inner man needs to be transformed. It's part of our mind. It's in the area of our mind, and we take the word, we begin to renew our mind, and we begin to think the thoughts of God, no longer being moved by what people tell us, the world tells us, what we can't do, what we don't have, and what we will never be. You know, that's what the world will tell you, but Jesus will tell you who you are and what he's made you and what your destiny is and all the good things he's put in you that are in you in the Lord. And so that's the news I want to hear. How about you? But it says that that spirit, he will rise up and he will bring life to your inner man. He will bring revelation and life to that inner man. So there's twofold. We're a three-part being. We're spirit, soul, and body. So in these scriptures right here, it's telling us the spirit of glory, resurrection power, has been promised to our bodies. It's been promised to our inner man, our soul, and our emotions, our mind, our wills, and that is he's working and moving and transforming and molding us from glory to glory to glory. I love that because I'm not the same person I was a year ago. I'm always stretching for the mark of the prize of the calling of God to form and be transformed into his image. And I know full well it's not a place of arrival. It's a process. In this whole life, we will never stop growing. We only stop if we put a lid on ourselves, if we put ourselves in a box. But there is such a vast frontier out there to be explored and pioneered and to grow into that who wouldn't want to do it? So earlier years, I began to get a hold of these scriptures, and I just believed them. And I began to just meditate on them and look at the things in the scripture, and I began to ponder and say, you know, Lord, what do you want to do through my life? How do you want to show yourself? How do you want to reveal yourself? And I began to hear people, that men and women of God, that would come through the church I was in at the time, and they would tell testimonies. They would tell testimonies you guys remember Terry Mize? He was a missionary in Mexico. Remember that? I remember sitting and listening to him tell that testimony. He was a missionary in Mexico. He was driving his car one day listening to Kenneth Copeland, and Kenneth Copeland was preaching Isaiah 54:17 on this tape, as in the tape days. And he sees this hitchhiker, and he pulls over, picks him up, and he starts driving down the road. And this hitchhiker pulls out a gun and says, pull over. And Terry Mize, you know, he's got a gun pointed at him, so he gets out. This hitchhiker takes him out into the field, and he's going to shoot him point blank, kill him, and he's going to take his car. And so he says, give me your keys, and Terry Mize hands him over, and then he says, he starts pulling the gun up, and he knows he's getting ready to shoot him. And all of a sudden, all he thinks of is Isaiah 54:17, and his hand came up and said, no weapon formed against me will prosper, and you can't kill me with that gun. And the man fired five times point blank, this far away, and five bullets dropped at his feet. Now, I know, when I heard that testimony, I was like, oh my gosh, if that happens, what would I do if that ever happened to me? Not out of tormented fear, but just, wow, Lord, if that ever happened, what would I do? And I began to rehearse it in my mind. Once again, it was not out of fear. It was like, I would want to respond right, you know? And I begin to think, oh, well, I'd probably be afraid first. So I'd do the Timothy thing, you know, where God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power and love. I went through this whole thing. And then I'd probably point my finger too. If it was a knife or a gun, I'd probably point my finger and go, no weapon formed. That's a good one, Lord. That's a good one. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And I went through this whole thing, and it began to play like a movie. And every now and then I'd think on it, and I just think, that's probably what I'd do. And so I said, Lord, if anything like that ever happened, I would want to do that. And then there was another thing in my life that I began to rehearse, and it was the resurrection of the dead, because I began to read in the scriptures and see, you know, that it was something God had promised to us. That's part of our inheritance. And I believe it's not only raising the dead spiritually, but I believe it's raising the dead physically, you know? And so I said, well, Lord, you know, how did they do it? I need to look how some of these guys did it, how you did it. So I began to look at the stories, and I thought, I probably wouldn't want to do it like Elijah. I don't want to lay on any bodies. That's not my style. That's not my style. But I'd say, you know, I'd probably do this and this, and I'd probably, you know, speak into it and call up the spirit, and I began to rehearse it. You know, and I've done this over the years, over many things in my life where I thought, if I was ever in that situation, what would I do? Would Dina come out or would the word? I'd want the word to come out. And so I'd want a response. I could make some testimony material out of it. Because you figure things you go through in life, you're going to be telling about it. I want to be able to tell it well. You know, I want to say that I responded right in that moment. You know, so I would rehearse. I know it's weird. But I would rehearse it and go, Lord, I want to do it. So you know the story. Pastor Mike told you the story. I was on the side of a freeway. you know, and had a knife pulled on me three times, and each time my hand would come up and point the finger, and no weapon formed, and his arm would literally just went like this. I know, because I'd called for angels. God, send me your angels. I know an angel caught his arm every single time and would not let him follow through, because he was like, woman, I'm going to kill you. And it was like coming down. And he was like looking at me getting so frustrated because he couldn't understand. Well, I knew his name in Zulu meant the knife handler. But that day and that night, he came against a sword handler. And where he was just doing a little knife, I was welding a two-edged sword. He didn't stand a chance. But the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of the dead. Once upon a time, let's build a campfire. Everybody gather around. I'm going to tell you stories. I'm going to tell you some Holy Spirit stories. I, you know, had a friend. One of my personal assistant who didn't work for me, her husband was a surfer, and he would go out, but he was kind of older. He had a heart condition. We always told him, don't go surfing by yourself, you know. But he determined to go out one day anyway, and he had a heart attack, and he drowned. And so they called us and said, you know, he's down at the moor. Could you come down and you know, and identify his body? And they'd asked us to do this. So immediately I thought, this is it. Oh, my gosh, this is it. And so I'm like gathering myself, and some of the pastors in that area, we all got together, and we were driving down to go, you know, raise him from the dead, and to see, you know, pray over his body. And so I'm pondering this in the front seat. I'm getting myself ready, and my heart's beating, and I know this is it. This is the moment. And one of the guys says, "Let's go see if we can raise him from the dead." And I, you know, at that moment, I burst into tears. I just burst into tears. They said, "What are you crying for, Dina?" I said, "It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, no one goes and sees if they can raise from the dead, because it takes a gift of faith. You just know that you know, and a working of miracles." And you know, they said, "Well, yeah, but we feel we need to go on in." And I stayed out in the waiting room, and I didn't go in. And they went in and prayed and just committed his body to the Lord. And the next day, I had to go teach at a Bible school. And that night, I went home, and I cried, literally cried, all night long. I failed you, God. I failed you in the moment when he needed me, you know, and he died prematurely. And Lord, I'm going through all of this agonizing. And I have to go. I didn't even prepare. I was just undone. And I gathered myself and got myself together, never went to sleep, just cried all night. And then I went to the Bible school, and I stood in the back of the building. And they were doing worship, and I'm just, you know, I'm standing there kind of pathetic. I was kind of pathetic at that moment. I was like this, you know, like, oh, God. And I heard the voice of God begin to speak to me and say, "Dina, am I not the Spirit of life?" "Oh, Lord, you know you are. You know you are. Dina, did I not come to give life and give it more abundantly?" "Well, of course you did, Lord." "Well, and then am I not the life giver?" "Yes, you are." And I felt myself standing up. And I began to hear flooding through my spirit and my heart, almost every scripture on life-giving Spirit of God. And he said, "What happened to him doesn't change who I am. Doesn't change who I am, Dina. I am still the same God." And all of a sudden, I felt myself stand up and said, "Yes, you are. You change not." And I just felt the power of God. And I heard them calling my name. So I go forward and I get up on the platform, and I know they all know him. So I started declaring what I just had heard the Lord say. You know, God came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And, you know, he is the Spirit of life. And although this happened, we know that we still have the life of God working. And I'm going on. I'm just preaching myself happy. And all of a sudden, I look out and I see three rows back over here, a woman that is slumped down in her chair, and Percy, old man Percy, he was 70-something years old, he's flailing and waving at me, and Sue is like, she's like in her 70s, she was an older woman, and I look at her, I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And I knew she was dead. I knew she died, and I used to, anybody ever used to listen to R.W. Schambach? you know, our general in the Lord, he went home. But I tell you what, because of that man, I've seen the dead raised. Because I heard him tell a story once on the radio and also live about the time he saw the man raised from the dead. And this man died in his meeting. And he said, "Why, you're not going to die in my meeting." And he came down off the platform, plowed through three rows. And he says, he began to pray over him and said, "Come back, you know." And then he gave him over to his ushers. And they took him out in the back of the tent. And then he forgot about him. And the man was left after everybody left. And he was going to hell. And when he called him back, he came back. And when they put him behind the tent, God healed his heart and restored it. And he came the next night in a nice suit and everything to give testimony. And when he came up, Shambach goes, "Oh, my God, you're the man." And he said, "Yes, but then, you know, the Lord kept me from going to hell because you prayed. You prayed." So, this was a story that so impacted. When I heard him tell it, I was like, this is powerful. Now, fast forward. I'm on this platform, I'm looking out three rows back, and all I can hear is, "Why, you're not going to die in my meetings." I came down, it was like in slow motion, and I'm running, you know, towards her, and I'm plowing through three rows, and all of a sudden, I lay my hands on her, and I start praying, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command the spirit of life to come into her now. Sue, you're not going to die. You shall live and not die. Sue, come back. I command the spirit of life, life. God, breathe into her the breath of life." And I'm praying like a wild woman. I'm just praying like a wild woman. And all of a sudden, we had two nurses, and they were checking her vital signs, and they went, "Tina, she's gone, honey." And I said, "No, she's not." And I looked up, and all the students were like, they were all by this time standing and going, "Ah," you know, and they're just like, "Ah." And I said, "Don't just stand there, pray." And they go, "Tuprema, somebody be kasai." And they start praying. I go back to praying, and all of a sudden, I can see the breath of God come into her. Her chest went, "Phew." You could see the moment it happened. You could see it. And I'm like, "Oh," I said, get her down on the floor. "Come on, let's lay her down." And they had already called the paramedics. And I lay her down, and her little eyes start doing this. And she looks up and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, Tina. Did I interrupt your meeting?" And I'm like, "No, Sue, sweetheart." I go, "It's okay." And I remember being on the floor, and her head was next to mine. And all this, you know, you can feel the presence of Jesus. You can just feel sometimes his presence. I felt him come, and he was just standing right there. And I just thought the thought to him, "I don't understand, Lord. Why not Wilbur?" And he said, "Dina, I give life to whom I give life." I can't make it any more profound. All I said was, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." It takes the pressure off of us. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. You know, I don't know what happened, you know, on the other side. I don't need to know. All I need to know is that I'm ready to go whenever he says go. Because it's a gift of healing. And, you know, you need to, and it's a gift of miracles and the working of faith. It's a gift of miracles and working of faith. That was the first time. The second time was 3 or 4 months later. And I had a little minor surgery, and I couldn't move, you know, or lift anything. And I just thought, hey, it'd be nice to go to Bolito Bay. We had some friends who would always give us their flat up in Bolito. It was right off the ocean. I thought, this, you know, that'd just be a nice place to recover. So we go, and I'm up in the flat, and my kids are down in the ocean playing. And then they were going to come up and make something to eat. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go sit down on a blanket and go read a book and just, you know, enjoy the moment, you know. And, you know, the atmosphere. Remember, I like atmosphere. So I'm going to go down and create an atmosphere on the beach. And so I'm sitting there with my blanket. I spread it out. I sit down. I have my little book. I have a little ice chest with my little waters. And I'm just having a moment with God. And all of a sudden, as I'm starting to read my book, I hear, "Help, help." And it's coming from over here. I'm like, what in the world? And I put my book down. And I look. And I'm not kidding you. It was like a man with a long beard with flippers, and he was a scuba diver. He's still got all of his gear on, and he's disoriented. He literally has seaweed hanging off of him, and he comes up out of the ocean like, where am I, you know? And I'm watching him, and he kind of is dazed and looks around, and then he takes off walking down the beach. I go, that was the strangest thing. I go, that was weird. It's like a Jonah moment, you know? This man comes out of the sea with seaweed on him, and I don't know. And so I thought, well, whatever. So I go back to reading, and I'm reading my little book, and then all of a sudden I hear coming from over here, "Help, help." And people are shouting for help again. And I look up, and now I know something's going on because I see a surfer. Whenever surfers go to the aid of scuba divers, they're in trouble. And there's a surfer with a surfboard, and they've got a body on top of the board, and then the other scuba diver is help paddling this person in. And I lay my book down, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this person's in trouble. This person's in trouble. I'm thinking to my, you know, you have 1,000 thoughts in a moment. I'm thinking, did they drown? Are they hurt? I don't know. So they get to the beach and they pull this body up on the beach. And I say, Lord, you know, you need to send somebody to help them. Where's the paramedics? You know, Lord, I start praying. Somebody needs to help them. And I went, oh no. Because there was nobody. The beach was empty. And I hear the Lord, I can hear him smiling at me going, oh yes. And so I said, okay, let's go. So I laid my book down and I went over and remember, I couldn't lift. I couldn't do anything. And I said, open her. It was a woman. I said, open her wetsuit, open it. Because they're in shock. It must have been her boyfriend. He's in shock. The surfer's like, he doesn't know what to do. I said, open her shirt, you know, and let her breathe and take her mask off. And I'm trying to coach them. And I'm saying, do mouth to mouth, clear her mouth out. And they don't know what they're doing. They're just in shock. They don't know what they're doing. I can't get down there and get her body positioned. They're not doing it. And I got frustrated. And so I just went, oh, for goodness sakes. So I just went around to where her head was and stood in front of her and pointed down to her. And I said, and I just began to pray in the name of Jesus. And I thought, you know, that really worked a couple of months ago. I'm going to go for that one again. I'm going with that one again. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, just breathe into her the breath of life. Father, breathe into her the breath of life. I call her back. And on this one, I didn't know her, so I bind death, hell, and the grave. I didn't know if she was saved or not. So I said, I bind death, hell, and the grave. Father, I call her back. Father, and I'm just praying like a wild woman again. All of a sudden, same thing. I saw it. All of a sudden, she was gray. She was gone. She was gone. She was gray. And I see her chest go, and it fills again. And I'm just in awe. I'm just overwhelmed with awe of God. And I look at her and she starts coughing up the sea. And the next thing you know, but I'll tell you this, when I was praying, this is cool. You see, we don't realize people want what we have. And especially when they're in trouble, you know, because when I was praying and saying, in the name of Jesus, her boyfriend was over here. He looks up at me with panic in his face and he goes, yes, Jesus. Jesus, you know, and I know he doesn't know him, but he's wanting to jump on the one I know, you know, and go with it. Yeah, Jesus. And so then this paramedic comes, they put her on a stretcher, and it's like Keystone Cops, and off they run. I look up, and all of a sudden when I looked up, because I've just been intent, you know, I've been praying over, I look up, and there is a whole crowd of people. Where they came from, I don't know, but there's a circle of people, and all of them are standing there just like, you know, like just stunned. And I thought, well, Lord, you know, what do you do? Because there was this moment of silence, you know, after they took her body and ran with it. And I just went, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And I went through the crowd going, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And I go over it and I sit down on my blanket, picked up my book and started reading it. And I got so tickled in my spirit because I heard God say, Dina, the supernatural should become natural. Not miss a beat, you know, in him we live and move. We have that resurrection power in every one of us. From, you know, God forbid if somebody in a situation dies prematurely, and once again, don't beat yourself up. That's what I learned. Be ready. But if that person doesn't come back, because I know I died prematurely when I was 18, and I crossed over, and Jesus sent me back. And I didn't want to come back at first, but at the sound of his voice, you know, I was compelled and just wanted to obey him. And I thank God I did. I thank God he gave me another chance so I could be here with you today and have the journey I've had. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. But in those moments, I'm telling you, we live so close. Heaven's in us. It says, pray that heaven would be here. It'd be here on earth as it is in heaven. And we are a people that carry that. We carry the resurrection power of God. There is nothing that power can't do. There's nothing that it cannot adjust. There's nothing that it cannot provide or transform or change or renew. Because that's the word it uses quite often, renew and quicken and bring life to by that power of his resurrection. Everything we're celebrating this week and this next Sunday, you know, is the moment where he made that happen because of him. We now live in this. So I want to pray for you, for those who want healing, those who want a touch from God, those who want to step into this. And I'm going to give it over to Mike here in just a second. But before I do, I just want you to bow your heads. And I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, You make the word come alive, and you do it in such an amazing way. I pray what has been shared this morning would stir the hearts of hearers to say, I want that. I have that. I can do that. Just like I did, Lord, when I heard Terry Mize, and I said, if that ever happened to me, what would I do? I can do that. I can do that also. Father, I pray right now you bring life and a quickening, and you stir up a boldness and a confidence and a dare to believe in these people that I could do that. I could do that. And so, Lord God, I pray that faith is rising. Faith is rising in the house right now. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you are brooding and you are moving over this congregation. You are resting. You are resting upon us. I ask you now to manifest yourself and manifest the presence. Let them feel your presence, Lord. Let them encounter your warmth, your embrace, your love. Let them know that faith is within them, that they can do all things, that there are exploits that have their name on it. There are things in this state, there are things in this nation, and in the nations around us that these people will step into and will have those moments where you say, I have prepared you for such a time as this. And they will step into things, Lord God, where they will release the power and the resurrection power of God to bring circumstances, situations, bodies, health, wholeness, healing, all that that carries, Lord, they will bring it. And they will impart it. And then they will step back and say, oh, my Jesus, in you I live, in you I move, in you I have my being. For the supernatural should become natural in all that we do. For we were created in your image, in the image of God and the likeness of God, we were created. You, my Father, are a supernatural God. Therefore, we have been made to do these things. We have been created to carry these things. We are a supernatural people in this earth. I thank you, Father, we stand taller knowing this. We walk straighter knowing this. And we walk with intentionality to do this. For I pray this day in Jesus' name. Amen.